Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to This is Maria. Today we're talking about blood types. What your blood type means for you from the energetic perspective. What does it tell us about you, about your personality, about your inclinations, about who you are, perhaps your dipset motivations, and kind of like how you potentially see the world as well. Our blood type is our energy type signature. It's blood, in fact, is akin to prana or chi in the sense that it is our life force, right? We have our life force flowing through our etheric or energy body, and we have our life force flowing through our physical bodies. So our blood type actually does determine certain characteristics. And so today we're going to dive into all of that. Before we get started, I wanted to take a moment and invite you to an in-person event that I will be doing in Miami on June 2nd. This is going to be an innovative dance therapy, dance and voice. So we're going to be using your physical body, all of the resources of your physical body to heal you. So it's going to be a journey through the seven chakras, and you're going to be embodying all of your chakras and releasing some deep set trauma from yourself and your lineage if you'd like to. It's up to you how deep you want to go. There is an attunement that would be possible for you if you want to work on the level of your lineage. And it's going to be a very beautiful healing. It's 2 hours long, and it's probably nothing like you've experienced before. It's a channeled modality. It's something new that I'm going to be doing. It's the second event ever. And so if this speaks to your soul, you can find more information on thisismaria.com. All right, my darlings, blood types. This has been requested by so many of you. I know you guys are curious. I've been trying to figure out how far into the history of blood types we go. Don't want to ruffle people's feathers, but it feels like as I'm tapping into the collective right now, it feels like you guys are curious. So my intention is to give you like a little bit of an overview of the different blood types and, you know, the inner, kind of like just the history. And then we're going to dive into each of them essentially one by one. I'm going to talk about them. Now, here's the deal. We're not going to touch Rh in this. So we're not going to touch Rh positive or Rh negative. Perhaps this is going to be another video. If you're curious about Rh, do leave me, just drop it in the comments that you're curious and you would like a video on that topic. It's just 8 blood types is a lot. So we're just going to look at the 4 major categories, the O's, the A's, the B's, and the AB's. That's it. And that's probably going to get us through an hour very, very quickly. All right, blood types. Like I said, our blood is essentially our lifeline. It's the manifestation of life force within our bodies. So our blood is extremely important. In fact, I'll go as far as saying that you do pick your blood type prior to incarnating. It is one of these points of contention with souls where souls are very deliberate about that. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that you cannot read your entire personality and your entire life story just by your blood type, because there are so many energies that come into your body, you know, through the course of your life, and so many facets and so many influences that literally you are the convergence of all of these things. It's like there are all of these ley lines and factors, and you're standing in the middle as the amalgamation of all of them. So to say that your blood type essentially determines who you are as a personality would be a gross overstatement, because there are so many things that determine who you are. You know, the energy of your ancestors, the energy of your higher self, your intention for this incarnation, the amount of free energy that you have, the health of your chakras. You know, I mean, I could keep going. So blood type is just one facet of who you are. But it is a curious enough subject that perhaps it requires a deeper dive and a deeper understanding. Now, the part that may ruffle a lot of feathers here is this. You know, depending on what you believe around the origins of humanity, if you believe the more Darwinian, theory, or you believe the creationism, like, what, it doesn't really matter. I guess what I'm here to tell you is a different perspective. If it doesn't resonate with you, it doesn't resonate with you. Now, enough of you already are on the same page, you know, that at one point humanity was actually created upon the face of planet Earth. It was created by geneticists. So essentially, Homo sapiens was bred as a species, right? It was bred at different times. It was bred in multiple laboratories. There are multiple facilities, shall we call it, upon the face of planet Earth. There were major ones. There were minor facilities. But what you're seeing around the difference of blood type, one way to look at it is, yes, there was a process of evolution of humanity, however you define it and however you subscribe to the fact that that happened. There was the process of evolution that happened for human beings when human beings were called out in the wild already. But there was also a process of evolution that happened in labs as well. And that, you know, during that time, a lot of enhancements were made to the original material, to the original DNA material of Homo sapiens, and a lot of tests were actually held. Certain genes were, turned on, and certain genes were turned off in the larger DNA molecule, in the larger DNA structure. So what you see today is a very rudimentary, within Homo sapiens, you see a very rudimentary DNA structure, right? So a lot of abilities of the Homo sapiens, the humanity, are untapped. They remain dormant. Now, they are going to be activated in the coming years. So there's a lot that's happening. But as far as blood types, essentially the blood type largely would determine kind of like how early or late the life force that like runs through your body was originally created on planet Earth. And they go through essentially, you know, the earliest ones created were the O type. Then there was the A's, the B's, and the AB's were the last. And so it was a process of evolution. One thing you need to understand about the beings that created it is anytime you're enhancing something, anytime you are shifting something, it is because there is a need and a desire. And so how these blood types played out initially is not how they are today. In other words, what type O blood used to be when it was first created and brought upon to planet Earth was a very, shall we call it, raw state, unevolved state of that blood type. Since then, there's been so much evolution that the original people that carried blood O, the type of like the O type blood, were very different from the beings that carry that same blood type today. And their energy characteristics and their physical characteristics, et cetera, are not the same. It's like saying that the first grader, is the same as a college graduate, which is not really the case. The amount of, call it, knowledge is very different. That's why, you know, it wouldn't be fair. So like the reason I'm going there is there has been evolution even within blood types, right? Now, there are four major tracks that have been created on planet Earth. At one point, they dabbled with the fifth blood type. That didn't quite work out. There will be five blood types, though, in 5D. So there will be a new blood type coming. Now, really quickly, I'll just give you the brief history. So the first blood type that was created, the O, was originally bred for and created for resilience. So the initially, what the creators wanted to do was to make a species that was going to be very resilient, very strong, very sturdy on their feet, like very solid. And so a lot of physical abilities, like physical prowess, a lot of these aspects like stamina, like speed, like being able to run fast, like being able to lift things, all of these things were prioritized. The problem with that original O-type blood was that a lot of these people were extremely self-centered, and it was not really conducive to creating communities. So it was really hard to create a tight-knit community or a community of any kind from those early blood O-types. And that is why the next iteration of the human, call it genome, was that something that enabled the next blood type, which was A. And A's originally were supposed to be the evolution of the O type, and they were supposed to be very communal. They were supposed to be very in tune, so to say, to the desires and the needs of other species and each other, frankly. And it was actually, if you think about it, the original O's were more of a masculine energy. The original A's were more of the feminine energy. That's the original. All of these four tracks evolved. So if you're trying to find yourself in those original, you know, explanations and descriptions, you're going to have a harder time, I think. Either way. So the second ones were very communal. And they were like, you know, kind of in a little bit selfless. And the problem with selfless was actually progress stopped with humanity. And so the creators had to go back to the drawing board and they were like, okay, well, we make them too self-centered. Society falls apart because nobody cares about anybody else. We make them too, call it nice and selfless. Nobody, like, there is no progress. So that's how type B was created, the third blood type, type B. And essentially those tried to combine the best of the two. And yeah, they were trying to make a mix of the masculine, the feminine, and everything in between. So a little bit of selfish, a little bit of selfless. And what was interesting about the third one, or the B, was that they really were explorers, adventurers. Like, there was that curiosity innate to that type B, the original, the OGs of the B blood type, that determined actually how widespread the population of humanity is, because that third blood type really wanted to travel and they kind of dragged everybody else alongside with them. Now, during these experiments, it's not like the earlier versions of humans were killed at all. It's just like they kind of like, oh, let that experiment run, and like, we'll keep experimenting, and they're going to keep mixing and, you know, mixing and mingling, and we'll see what happens. And then the fourth type was actually originally meant, and the fourth is the AB. That was originally meant as more of the leaders, actually. The leaders, and leaders in like across the board. That's why there is a lot of variety in fours, but they were meant to actually be very wise. So like the intellect was really accentuated with ABs. And they also were given, you know, a certain like level of perception of reality that enabled them to see big picture. And so like, that's why a lot of these original beings were kind of like naturally, organically leading tribes, if you will, because they just, you know, there were a lot of shamanic blood in there. There were a lot of, call it psychic abilities, special abilities in the ABs. There were a lot of people with great intellect. So the little like stars in all kinds of facets of life, right? They were usually very well spoken, and like, just again, leadership quality is probably the most characteristic type. Now, there were also kind of like they were all very different with fours, because they were supposed to be different leaders. So like within the fours, there were like people who were supposed to be military leaders. There were people who were supposed to be, you know, economic leaders, or, you know, like start trade, et cetera. There were people who were supposed to be leaders in like politics and, you know, developing society in that way. So like the fours were literally the cacophony, or like the aggregate of different leadership skills and different, call it not even special abilities, but like different skill sets that like ran really deep. And usually the way that that would happen is like for the ABs, a lane would be picked, right? And so like even the four blood type, the AB, they had like multiple proficiencies almost, or like multiple tracks of the same blood type, where different qualities would be inbred in like the different members of that blood type. And like certain qualities would be really accentuated and the rest of them would be switched off in order to breed real genius, right? So like essentially the part of that experiment was like, can we breed real genius? Like, can we breed people who can lead others? So that's kind of like the history now. All the tracks have evolved massively. And I think what's fascinating is where the blood types are today. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take the collective consciousness and collective energy of each of these blood types, where they stand today within humanity, every single person who is alive with that blood type. And I will do a collective reading for like, what are the qualities, call it the blessings, the curses, for all of the people What are the commonalities that I'm seeing for all of the different blood types? And we're going to start with O's, our O's. Fairly common one. O is a fairly common blood type, so is A. You have fewer Bs and fewer ABs. O's. O's are interesting. I would say O's have, there are a lot of innovators in the O's. There are a lot of outspoken individuals. Personal voice is very important to the O's. Personal truth is very important to the O's. It's very important for them to be outspoken. It's very important for them to be heard. There's a little bit of a revolutionary streak with the O's, as in these people are the most likely to fight for a better world, for a better society. There's like a disproportionate number of revolutionaries that came from the O blood type. They are the ones with probably the healthiest red center of all humanity. They, and of course, you know, healthiest of all humanity doesn't still mean completely healthy, but just comparatively speaking, their root center, their, you know, their safety, they feel a little bit safer and they feel a little bit more sturdy on their feet, meaning like they can just like, they have that innate tie and innate connection with the earth. So it's easier for them to ground, actually. It's easier for them to feel like they are at home here. And like Earth is their mother planet, if that makes sense, right? There are a lot of athletic O's. So sports, like a lot of people with the O blood type would be really, really naturally good at sports. Stamina still remains, by the way, through all these years. So they can be very hardworking. They can work harder. Physically working, right? Like not just mentally, but like physically, they can do a lot of things with their hands. There's a lot of proficiency there with like making stuff with your hands with this blood type. They are forward-looking. So they are very, they are futuristic in a sense that they really need to know that where the society is going is the right direction. So your O's are going to be very, you know, they would like things like, Star Wars and sci-fi and technology and gadgets. Like, O's are going to be very likely to be at the forefront of technological, like, revolution, if you will. A lot of O's support things like AI and, like, they really like just progress. They like progress. They like cars, like machinery. They like speed, but they like power. Right. So these are individuals that need to feel powerful. So that is a basic need for them. They need to feel powerful physically. They need to feel like they have power. They need to feel like they have a say. So it's very important for them to exercise their rights. Like rights for them, civil rights is going to be very important. Justice is very important for this blood type. They are fighters for justice. They hate injustice, whatever they perceive as injustice. They are not afraid of showing strength. They're not afraid of coming across as strong-willed. They are okay with being the loudest voice in the room. They are the least likely type to keep quiet and like keep their opinion to themselves. And they're actually the least likely to be introverted also. There's a lot of them energetically, the O's. The blessings of the O is they have a lot of energy. They have a lot of energy in the physical world to do the things that they want to do. However, they're also really prone to burnout because with O's, one of the things is they don't know their own limits sometimes. And they may overestimate how much free energy they have. And so it's like go, 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 and then like burnout. And so because of that, they're actually prone to sickness. Not like the chronic type, but like, you know, the kind that just like takes you out for a couple of days and just like you just like you are in bed because you don't want to move or you can't move. And that's just your body telling you like enough's enough. You're tired. Take a break. O's are not really good at taking breaks. They would rather go, go, go if they can, you know. And so sometimes the external circumstances need to pause them. The O's are not always great listeners. They would rather talk than listen. And they have an attachment to their beliefs, like almost the zealous attachment to their beliefs. Like they have complete faith in that the fact that their opinion is the only correct one. So they're probably the more closed down type in terms of their minds are harder to shift. Their minds are harder to change, like meaning they're not the most flexible type. They are very straightforward, and they also like planning. Like they need to, like planning things ahead gives them immense confidence. What else do they care about? O's. O's actually do care about things like status, like titles, like how they're perceived. Perception is very important to them, how they're perceived. Because of that, they could adjust their behavior just to adjust perception. In other words, they are the blood type that can be most trapped by society. Despite the fact that they're all, you know, so outspoken, they're the ones that can be the most trapped by other people's expectations because they have this need to, like, for other people's acknowledgement. And so that's why, in some ways, despite all of their outward energy and power, they can be unhappy. Because again, there is a little bit of that false identity where, like, yes, they're going to fight for what's right for society and et cetera, but they're not always going to fight for themselves or their true expression. So in other words, it's very easy for them to get lost and lose themselves in the shuffle and not be able to tell, like, what is their false identity that was born out of trauma versus where is their real identity. So there is an issue with self-awareness, actually, for the blood type O. It's harder for them to know themselves, right? The know thyself, like the oracles of Delphi. That is harder for them, right? Knowing themselves. And so sometimes they have to talk, right? And express themselves just to even know what they're thinking. Also, busy mind. They have a busy mind, a lot of activity in the brain. And they are motivated by achievement, right? So goal setting, achievement, they have that masculine aspect is still very much there. Yes, not very good at talking about their feelings. They would rather not talk about their feelings if they can help it. And in general, they actually really think that the intellect and the mind is way supreme to feelings. And because of that, they would often reject things like woo-woo and spirituality. And not everybody, right? But just like percentage-wise, they're more practical than spiritual. And they're, you know, would rather build a career than like connect to their higher self as a general rule. Again, there are exceptions to every rule. And obviously there are so many spiritual, just given how populous type O is, there are a lot of spiritual people there. Okay, our A's. A's are peacemakers. A's are diplomats. A's are all about harmony. It's extremely important for the A's to have a harmonious home. And they're always seeking harmony in relationships. Even if it's a work relationship or like something that's, you know, like an acquaintance, like not even husband or wife, this blood type is most attuned to the emotions of others and the needs of others. And they, like, it's like they can feel the disharmony with their skin and it bothers them. As in, somebody walks into a room and that person is unhappy or salty or something, and it'll be the A that feels it first. So it's not quite empathy, but it's almost like a step like before empathy. So like they really dislike conflict. Like if they can avoid conflict, they would want to avoid conflict. They dislike people that are yelling. They dislike like loud emotions or like just big over the top expressions of things. So they are a little bit more reserved. A's are a little bit, they're actually really good listeners. It's the talking sometimes that's a problem for them. It's the talking sometimes where they find it makes them vulnerable. And they don't love being vulnerable because they've kind of learned that vulnerable means weak and it's the survival of the fittest. And it's not that they don't, you know, like, it's almost like according to their design, they want to share and they feel a lot. The depth of their feeling is wow. But they would rather, you know, not share openly or publicly or with too many people because and the perception is that they're going to get hurt. Decent amount of people with open heart chakras with this blood type, which is fantastic, but also a disproportionate amount of people with, you know, heartbreak and heart trauma and just all kinds of backstabbing situations that are really deposited in people's hearts. So there is a lot of pain in the heart center for this particular blood type. A's are very creative. So they have that creative streak. They have that need to express themselves creatively. I'll go as far as saying that if an A blood type does not have a creative outlet, their life is going to feel incomplete to them. For the A, it's really important to have that hobby or to have that, you know, creative outlet where they can just express that the more gentle aspects of their soul, if you will. Otherwise, it'll feel to them that their life is a chore and it's really boring. And A's don't like being bored. So they are, it's harder for them to stick to the same thing. So they like variety. So for them, variety is really important in all facets of life. And the less variety they're getting elsewhere, like the harder it is for them to stick to the things that matter. For instance, it may be hard for them to stick to the same job or to stick to the same partner, to stick to the marriage if they don't have variety somewhere in their lives, because otherwise they're going to start seeking variety in like employment and relationships. So it's really important that they're busy. They're keeping busy and they're doing a lot of different things. So they need to be stimulated is what it is. The A's really care about the aesthetics of things, usually, as a general rule. Right. They're probably the ones that care the most about how something looks. They care the most about having a cozy home. They care that just like the appearances really matter to them, like visually, not like the O's, not like the first blood type where it's status really matters. For A's, status is not really paramount, but like they like the beautiful things in life. They like to be aesthetically pleased by, you know, by looking at something. And so they're, you know, probably the most likely to enjoy art, poetry, I don't know, beautiful literature, beautiful decor, you know. And they're a little bit homey. So they're like, they just care about their homes. They care about their relationships. They care about their communities. Very often they're very people-oriented. And they want to do something for the people. They have a little bit of this service archetype where like, how can I apply my skills to help others? They are obsessed with being good parents of pretty much any other blood type. And they're the most scared that they're going to suck as a parent. And so they really overthink parenthood, like nobody's business. They also can come across as unsure, and sometimes it's hard for them to make decisions. Especially the bigger the decision, sometimes the harder it is for them to make it. So they're going to like try to calculate things in their head and be like, is this it? Is this not it? I don't know. So they have a habit of second guessing themselves and doubting themselves. And because of that, can create a little bit of worry situation inside, or, you know, that disbalance, like fire that doesn't know where to go. Because of that, they're always looking for a confirmation from the outside world. So they would always pick a partner that they think is not an authority figure for them, but they can go to advice for and double check their thinking with. So it's a little bit, they're an archetype that's, it's not quite a dependent archetype, but they need people around them. Like they need somebody to confirm or deny that their perceptions are valid or their way of understanding is valid. So there's a little bit of that. They could be great communicators, though. So, you know, when they do speak, it can be very beautiful, very healing energy, very healing stream. By the way, a lot of healers in this blood type A, a lot of healers. People who are just naturally attuned to energy, auric fields of others, whether they see it or they don't, they're naturally attuned, which makes them really beautiful healers. It makes them really fantastic performers on stage. It makes them amazing psychologists, psychiatrists. Really great storytellers, like movie directors, etc. So a lot of really, really good, talented, creative types are here. Artists, for sure. If it's, you know, entrepreneurship or something in the business, it has to be creative or something different or something at the cutting edge and forefront. But at the same time, it's actually really interesting. This energy can be quite conservative too. So they're prone to nostalgia. they may like certain historical periods where they would just gravitate to a certain historical period. They're a little bit like, they're a little bit of dreamers. And they kind of like, they're the ones that want to believe the most in magic. If the first blood type, the O's, are very sci-fi, these are very magic. So they're, I guess, more likely to like enjoy fantasy, things like that. And they really want to believe in magic. They have a beautiful connection to Gaia and Mother Earth. So these people really crave nature. Really crave nature. For them, it's like not a nice to have. It's a must have to either live in nature or have vacation in nature. Just connect to the earth. And, you know, different, you know, obviously different people have different attachments to different natural features. But like each of these types is going to have like a preferred landscape. Like it's either the ocean or the river or the forest or whatever, or the mountains, but they're going to know what it is. And that is because that landscape replenishes their energy. So they're, you know, they could be outdoorsy, but even if they're not outdoorsy, there is a special connection with Gaia and the elemental kingdom that A's share that some people don't. They also are intuitive, and they are, their higher centers are fairly open. I'm talking third eye. And so they may get insights and guidance. And a lot of them have been getting guidance from, you know, the very early days since they were a kid. So intuition is actually second nature to them. And they have a lot of intuitive decision making happening. So it's like their gut feeling. They're led by gut feeling. But because they're tapped in into the flow, into call it the Akashic Records, intuitively, they can be great inventors. Or they can also be quite futuristic, where they can come up with something that's completely avant-garde, completely ahead of its time. So that's the A's. The B's. Ooh, the B's are the busy bees. No pun intended. They're really busy. B's love keeping busy. They thrive on movement. They're kind of the most impatient of the types. They need to always be in motion. They always need to be stimulated. They like change. They don't like the status quo. They hate routine. They're going to be the ones that are most prone to traveling. Like there's a little bit of the wanderer, the gypsy, the traveler archetype here with the bees. They just, they love new people, new cultures, new experiences. They like learning new skill sets. They like stories, like getting lost in like different worlds just because they need stimulation. They're very cerebral. They're smart. They're usually very good communicators, very impactful communicators. They know how to say something to impact somebody else. They're really good with money, probably the best type for making money. They're really good entrepreneurs, really good with business. And they are okay self-starting, like starting something else, but also working for others. Like this, what's interesting about bees is they can go at it alone or they can go at it with a group. And they're equally good at both. And that makes them the most flexible of the types, of all the four. Like they can really... They're quick learners. They're the ones that are the most likely to have many careers or like multiple jobs or like multiple different random skill sets. So these are the people that are the least likely to end up without money and, you know, not knowing where, how to get like resources. Because it's like they're kind of like almost like natural manifestors. The curse, I guess, here is that like it's harder for them to stick to one thing because they get bored so easily. So like sometimes they would drop things just because like, I know this, it's already boring. So there's a little bit of that issue of sticking to something. They're also a little bit spacey around time. So like they can be late or they can be early and like it's hard for them to keep track of time. And in general, they just don't like being boxed into anything. Like they don't like rules. They like making up their own rules. They don't like being told what to do. So there's a little bit of that rebellious streak with parent archetypes, usually like with their parents are like, don't tell me what to do. I want to live my life. They're the least likely to fit into a societal mode. They're like the more likely to like have a weird lifestyle or like do something strange mid-sentence that people just like don't know how to comprehend. Like, I don't know, like have a job on Wall Street and then become a downshifter and move to Bali and like just meditate or something. I don't know. Like they're just kind of all over the map. And they love it. They like thrive on being all over the map. And usually like you'll find these people doing multiple different things. Like they're, you know, in life, just like either having a ton of hobbies or just even like the jobs that they would pick somehow would allow them to do many tasks and have their hands on a lot of cookie jars. These are the people that actually are moving fast, so there can be their careers are very fast evolving. They are quite magnetic, so they are charismatic. So they can be really good managers. They can be really, really good natural leaders. They feel people very well. Like they just know people. They feel people very well. They can read people very well. That's why it can be very easy for them to spot somebody who would be potentially problematic. Yeah, threes have an interesting tendency of running away, and they think they're running away from an authority figure usually, or some type of external circumstance that they dislike. So they're the most likely to immigrate or live somewhere far away from where they were born because they're always running away. And usually they're running away from a parent, actually, or how a parent makes them feel, or both parents, which is usually really a form of running away from yourself. And that's why they're always running and never really able to get too far because they're still with themselves day in and day out. This is the type that has the, these are the ones that have the hardest time with committing to relationships, like especially long-term relationships, to having children, to anything. Because they're like, oh, I don't know, I may get bored. I don't know. Is this really the one for me? I don't know. So they're like a little bit non-committal and they're in like the constant fight or flight. But they're also, they can achieve things very easily. Like from the outside looking in, it feels like this type always just has it easier than the others. Like it's almost like they make their own luck. So they're the most likely to get lucky, actually. Sometimes they get weird handouts from the universe just because they expect to. Blood type Bs are the most likely to feel like the universe somehow has their back and the universe just somehow takes care of them because there's a little bit of that divine child archetype with them now. A lot of them like to suppress their divine child. A lot of them like to suppress their child archetype and not let the child play. That is all the whole trauma response. For this blood type, for Bs, it's really important to be in touch with their inner child. Really get to know what their inner child wants and what their inner child talents were, because that's a dead giveaway for what they're supposed to do with their life. The more suppressed their inner child is, the less they allow themselves time for play, the less fulfilled they're going to be. They may be successful, but being successful and being fulfilled is not one and the same thing. And so threes, or like Bs in this case, are the most likely to have midlife crisis because they live a life where they're a little bit dissatisfied with something all the time. Like they have a little bit of a complainer streak. They'll always find something to complain about or to, you know, not be fully happy about. And very often it starts with them. So a blood type B has the loudest inner critic, actually, of all of them. And because of that, it's harder probably for them to live with themselves. That's why they're constantly in like escape mode. They're trying to escape somewhere, something through whatever means. They could be good parents, though, once they're set out to, you know, to becoming one, because they have such a strong child in them. Or like children love spending time with these types of parents because they can just be silly with them and just play with them and like just get lost in the game and like not feel like they need to be the authority figure all the time. Now, there are exceptions to every rule, so take this with a grain of salt. Threes like, I don't know, performing arts. They like parties, usually. They like the happening. They want to be where the happening is, like whatever that is in their mind. And they're always chasing, like, ideals. Like, their values are really important to them. Their ideals are very important to them. They can completely tear something apart, like a relationship apart, because their values didn't match up with a partner. So, and they're actually they're the most likely to make rash decisions and rash calls. So they're the ones that are just going to like rip it off like a Band-Aid, think later. So that's potentially problematic. The blood type B, this blood type, is most likely to get themselves into physical accidents of some sort and like having their bones broken. it's just something that they attract. Because that's a little bit of this restless energy. That is the opposite of steady, actually. They're not the very steady. They're the go, go, go people. That's why they do a lot. It feels like they can fit so many things per millisecond. You're like, how do you do all of that? And it's usually at the detriment of their own like balance and being grounded. And yeah, and the reason that a lot of them do so much is because there's that inner critic inside that just tells them, hey, I think you're late. I think you need to hurry up. What are the blessings of this type? Well, like I said, they're great leaders. They can be very inspirational to others. Like when others look at them, they're like, wow, this person is so cool. I want to be like them. So they have that magnetic energy field that's very charismatic that other people either want to be around or want to be, you know, want to become, right? So they do attract a lot of jealousy because of that, but they can be very inspirational. They're extremely well-spoken. And like they can speak in a way that really makes you want to listen to them for hours. That's definitely very much a B. And yeah, like I said, they're very attuned to the people. They're very attuned to the people, and they're attuned to their own emotions. So they're kind of in touch. They know what's going on. So that's definitely very much a blessing. All right, on to the last one, ABs. The fourth blood type, ABs. The least populous, the smallest group of ABs. Now, there's so much diversity and variety in this one small group that it is even hard to read them as one cohesive whole. Really, truly, I mean it. There are a lot of the aristocratic types here. So the people who are very much into classical music, ballet, classical literature, all things classical, all things conservative, manners, and, obsessed with languages and obsessed with history, like a lot of history buffs here, a lot of philosophy buffs, a lot of people, very intellectual people here, who just, you know, like philosophical escapades for the sake of philosophical escapades, right? They just love deep thinking. They get stimulated by puzzles and like, you know, murder mysteries and discoveries. And they're the most prone to like be a scientist that really wants to come up with a new theory. There are a lot of great physicists and mathematicians with this blood type. There are a lot of politicians with this blood type as well, because there is another streak of ABs that are very much into politics and building their personal power and influence. And they're really good at that. They can be incredible politicians, incredibly inspirational, leaders that could lead millions of people. People that they like changing policy. They like big picture thinking. They like legislature. They like, being able to impact change for like future generations. So ABs are very often obsessed with things like their legacy. You know, what is the legacy that I'm leaving behind? They're also obsessed with, almost like nesting, or like creating a nest, or like creating something to pass on to their children. Not that the other ones aren't, it's just like this type is particularly obsessed with it. They're like, okay, what's my legacy? What am I leaving to my kids? And so they're very, enough of them are focused on wealth accumulation. Right. So investments, things like that. And they can be very smart with like their investment portfolio, investment decisions. But then you have another type in the four, which is the complete denial of societal norms and just like a complete, like not quite denial of the material, but they're like, don't give me the money. Don't give me the power. Don't give me the fame. Not interested in any of those. And I just want to, pursue what makes me happy. And like, again, that could be the artistic type, the composer or the poet or something. Or it can just be somebody who's always soul-searching. There are a lot of fours that are just, a lot of ABs that are always soul-searching, that are trying to figure out what their spot is. Like, when do they fit in? And they're so unique, and they're already not enough ABs to begin with. And even within that, there are so many of them that are literally one of a kind. And so it's really hard for a lot of them to fit in. They're the least likely to actually feel at home on planet Earth. they're the more likely to feel like they're from elsewhere or they're the odd one out or they just, you know. So there's a little bit of that separation from the rest of humanity and the ABs. Like, where they, some of them don't want to be connected and some of them want to be connected. They just don't feel how, like how that is possible. So there's a little bit of that distance between them and the others. And it could be the distance like of a teacher or a guru as well, because there are like that hierophant archetype, you know, a religious leader is also very strong with the force. There are a big streak of people with special abilities here. And innate special abilities on that. So something, somebody that comes in and they're already born with special abilities, unlike the rest of humanity that sometimes has to work for it. Fours bring, the ABs bring with themselves a lot of life force, a lot of life force. And they're able to direct that life force into projects. And so, and a lot of them would be like, pregnant, so to say, with a project, or like they would come to make this one big thing happen. It's like the mission of their life, like a project of some sort, a society of some sort, or something. And they'll be obsessively thinking about it until that transpires or that happens for them. ABs have the highest degree of being misunderstood by society and feeling like an outcast and feeling like a hermit and feeling like they just don't belong and feeling the bitterness because of that and the sadness and just the heartbreak because of like of not being accepted. And for them, it's really important to be accepted. They usually run this trauma of being not accepted and not being good enough for one of their parents, very often a mom. So there are a lot of ABs that have a broken relationship with their mother, unfortunately, and the femininity within as well. And it's almost like they feel so deep. And they also do have actually an innate, deeper connection to their soul and their higher self. So a lot of them are getting guidance from higher spheres, whether they realize this or not, again, in intuitive hits. Somewhat similar to the A blood type, but even deeper than A's, like it gets really deep. You have some very serious psychic abilities here with this group. Their shadows is... There is a big shadow of world domination, you know, that comes through the political crowd and kind of like a little bit of that elitist feel of like we're better than the rest. So there's a little bit of that, you know, dogmatic thinking here. Not with everybody. Obviously, there are exceptions to every rule. And I'm just like looking at the broader shadows. Not everybody has it. Because like I said, the ABs are the hardest to diagnose because it's almost like it's one cohesive group, but there are like tracks. And if you're on a particular track, you may not share the shadow of another track. So that world domination is usually for the ones that are in politics. They're not really for the call of the artist or something. Yeah, but they definitely carry that, most of them, though, like regardless of the track, they carry a little bit of that stamp of being misunderstood or somehow too complicated and others just don't get it. And so there's a little bit of a rift between them and people. It's actually harder for ABs to build relationships. They can lead people all right and they can be inspirational all right, but it's hard for them to feel really close to somebody else. Because of that, it's also harder for them to be a parent. Because as a parent, there's always that rift between the AB and their child, and the child feels it and they feel it. And so it's a little bit of that. They feel like they're not great parents because of that. Now, they also don't necessarily do something about it. It's like there's a little bit of just being okay with the status quo. And just like there are certain battles that ABs just are not going to fight. And one of them is like, if the world misunderstands them, they're not going to try to prove the world wrong. Like if the parent misunderstands them, they're not going to try to fix the relationship with that parent. Like they're a little bit of, it's not settling, but they're just like not pushing or not pressing the world. They're just like, they're okay with like what happens. So like they're actually very, not receptive, but they are very cool, calm, and collected in many ways. So they can be very calm, cool, and collected, you know, during adversity. Like when everybody else is in the state of chaos, AB's blood type have the best ability to maintain their calm. So they're very calm under pressure. It makes the they make the best spies because of that, and, you know, special agents, because they're just hard to break, very resilient, very sharp and smart also. So a lot of, you know, cerebral activity, very busy minds. They're also intellectual, right? And so because of that, their minds are often busy solving something for humanity, like some big puzzle. And they get really excited about like scientific discovery and discovery in general. All right, my loves, I wanted to see if the collective has any questions for me. I don't know how many questions I can take, but anything that serves the collective, I'm here to respond. So the question is, to what degree does the blood type impact your personality? It's really hard to tell me, to tell you, like, to what degree, to what percentage. Usually, like, it would definitely impact you to some degree. The question is, what else is impacting you? And of all the other things that are impacting you, is anything in direct opposition to the qualities and characteristics of the blood type? Because if something is in direct opposition, then, you know, they may cancel each other out. Now, also, if the energy of your lineages, your upbringing, or the energy of your higher self is the opposite of what the blood type is, again, certain things can get canceled. So I would say that it definitely has a lot of weight, perhaps not as much as your birth date, and like not as much as your birth date would develop, be a signifier of like your whole astrological and natal chart, right? It's not as precise as astrology or numerology, but it's a precise enough reading that you should be able to find some similarities, and even in the people that you know, and, you know, in your family members as well. The question is, is there like a dominating blood type? And also the other question is like, what is the fifth blood type that's coming for planet Earth? O's and A's are the most the most common, right? I'm not entirely sure what you mean by the dominating blood type, like which one is the better one. Neither really at this point, although at one point the AB blood type was considered to be the elite blood type. It's not really the case these days, because all of the other blood types are also very evolved. And also there is no such thing as elite anymore because of how the society is structured. And so there's also been all of these cross-pollination and, crossbreeding and all of it. So like it's all kind of a moot point these days. But also, what's powerful is what fits your higher self's plan. And your higher self has selected your blood type. So you better be sure that it was not random. So if your higher self gave you an O, it's because you're meant to be an O, and because that's the best blood type for you, for the lessons, and it's going to accentuate all of your learnings. That's why it's the best blood type for you. What is the blood type that is coming? I guess for the lack of a better explanation, it would be the more of the combination of the ones that came before and more of an evolved blood type. And it's going to be the solar blood type that has the highest ability to absorb solar energies, right? So the pranic eating, call it, the solar energy eating blood type. So there'll be a special blood type that would enable a human being to essentially go off of solid foods down the road and consume solar life force or pranic energy. And that is what that blood type is going to be all about. And that's going to be all about the higher centers and intuition and full-blown connection to memories and ancestral memories and past life memories and higher self connection and connection to Gaia and harmonization of the species. And it's going to be very 5D all the way. All right, my darlings. This has been so much fun. Please let me know in the comments if you have any other questions and you know, if I need to make a follow-up video. But this is good fun. I hope that you enjoyed. Yes, let me know in the comments how you feel about all the info. Sending you a big virtual hug. I'll see you in the next one.